right, you're on the arms with Glenn.
And John.
Woo! We are another wonderful, beautiful day. It's finally not freaking hot.
I know, right?
That nice storm came in.
Oh my God,
dude. Chilled things out.
Washed away people's roads and houses and...
I think we're supposed to have another nice big old storm this week.
Yeah, Thursday, so excited about it. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I think.
Really?
Yeah. Thursday, Friday, Saturday for sure is what I saw.
Cool. We'll be doing Black Friday event and Practical Shotgun in the rain.
You have fun with that. Yes. I'll be home with the children's.
All right, we're live from the AR-500 Armor Studio. This month, we've been talking about the Valkyrie plate carrier. We don't have a Valkyrie in here today, but we have the last couple weeks, so you've seen it. It's a plate carrier.
Yep, it's a plate carrier.
I think one of the kind of final takeaways, because this will be our last week talking about it, the final takeaway for me about the Valkyrie is it is a huge step forward for AR-500 armor. Over the last year or so, they've been making their own carriers. They haven't used anyone else's stuff.
Mm-mm.
And it's a huge step forward for a company to do something like that, just making all their own stuff. And by making, I mean, it's still like... overall manufactured in another location.
No, the Valkyrie is part of their U.S. line.
Is it part of the U.S. line? Okay.
I think so.
But it's sure their product that they've designed, they put in the time, they put in the effort, they're just using someone else's.
Right over there.
Yeah, literally right over
there. Like less than 100 yards from us.
But anyways, so yeah, we got that going on. Make sure you guys check them out. They got all kinds of cool holiday sales and stuff. James has been in all kinds of great videos for AR-500 armor, so... you know, if you're trolling on their social media, you'll see this studly guy. My favorite one was the when you were wearing a Freeman, and everyone's like, "Such a tiny plate carrier for this giant guy." What? And people would get in there and like try to be like, "Hey,
it's for your heart.
It's the heart plate, man. It's just really to protect your vitals, light and fast, concealable." And they're like, "Whatever, man, I'd just shoot him in the belly." And I'm like, "I've seen you at the range. You won't be shooting anything anywhere, much less in a specific spot of your body."
The same argument we've had for years with people.
Oh, yeah, when we had the micro carriers and all that,
It's terrible.
Freaking ridiculous. Stupid. All right. Patrons, thanks so much for your patronage. Make sure you guys are checking out the blogs, the show reviews, the extra shows for the month. We'll be doing another one next week, obviously. And let's see, what else we got going on? Black Friday event. If you're not in it, you need to get in it, man. It's going to be our UTM pressure testing program. It's basically going to be fighting.
You're just going to gunfight all day.
It's basically going to be gunfighting all day long with UTM stuff and how we're going to specifically extract useful data and information from these situations is very unique. So people are really going to enjoy it. Black Friday event. Make sure you guys check it out. All UTM gear is provided. It's down in Casa Grande. It's going to be a damn good time. Also, Practical Shotgun, our yearly Practical Shotgun class, coming up on Saturday down in Casa Grande as well. So, yeah, if you're looking to get trained on the shotgun, now's your time because we only do it once a year, which is sad. Here it is. And even once a year, we barely even have enough people to do the class. It's just like freaking sad, man.
Pretty demanding class, though.
Yeah, it is. Very physical class. So I had some questions from a student. Here you go. One thing I'd like to hear you touch on in the podcast is POTUS being Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces. That's not a question mark. Is POTUS being Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces? Isn't that supposed to be one of the most important jobs of POTUS? Why is SecDef arguing with Trump over this? It is our fault as civilians for constantly voting in non-military people as POTUS, who are then technically CIC of commander or CIC of military. Or is POTUS supposed to be smart enough to take advice from the SecDef?
So he's only Commander-in-Chief in very specific times.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he should be taking advice from SecDef. Mm-hmm. I don't think military service should be a requirement because it's not... I mean, you know. I do think that. I don't think military service is a requirement. That's a whole nother topic and a whole nother conversation for another show.
Correct.
So, yes, he should take advice. No, he should not have to have served. And he is only Commander-in-Chief in very limited application.
I would say, yes, he has to take advice from SecDef because that's the whole purpose of having a SecDef. Like, there's a purpose of having all the other advisors and, Joint Chief Staff and all that kind of stuff he's got. You got to be able to take advice from people. So I think that that's important. I don't think that POTUS's primary job is warfare.
No, absolutely not.
So, yes, he is commander-in-chief. Like John said, he's only commander-in-chief sometimes under certain circumstances where he's literally personally commanding military forces. So there you go. That's our take on it. James, anything different?
No, I think his job is to run the country, not just run military. So, yeah, that's why you have a SecDef.
So there you go. There's the questions. All right, got to talk about all this bullshit that happened this weekend. Okay? Here's my take on it. As soon as all this stuff happened with Whiskey Warrior 556, which, quite honestly, already sets the wrong tone for me.
Pretty terrible screen name.
All right, already sets the wrong tone for me. As soon as I started getting information on this, of course, my first instinct is just like, you know, the big igloo, let's fucking do it, right? Like, because that's all of our dreams, like something great's going to happen that finally kicks it all off, even though it's not really going to be that much fun.
Failed state or functioning states don't have civil wars.
Correct.
And we're still a functioning state.
Still a functioning state. So I'm like, as soon as I saw it, I'm just like, I need so much more information.
Oh my God.
I need so much more. So here's it. So when this guy says like, oh, they're coming after me because my buddy reported me for having 30 round magazines, blah, blah, blah. And then I see the video of the dude and he's in an ACU top or whatever with a freaking plate carrier on. I'm like, this dude's unbalanced.
With a giant knife on the front of
with
his
plate carrier. With a huge knife like, on front of his plate carrier. I'm like, this dude's unbalanced.
Yeah.
You know how you have a peaceable resolution with the cops?
Don't do stupid shit.
Well, first of all, yeah. But if it happens, when you find yourself having to have a peaceable resolution with the cops, you just walk out there and talk to the cops.
Yeah, crazy.
If you walk out there with a plate carrier on, that sends a certain message.
It's a true story.
Or if you start taking selfie videos of yourself with a plate carrier on, that sends a certain message. And then, of course, we all find out, because some of us waited and relaxed for a minute and saw what all the details were, the guy's got all these domestic violence charges against him, and his weapons have already been confiscated because of other problems that he's had in his life. So here's what we can draw from this, right? Was it a possible red flag, the red coats, or whatever that people are calling the cops? Is it possible that they overstepped their limits? Yeah, man.
Sure.
They do it all the time.
Yeah.
Right? They absolutely do it all the time. To me, here's something more important to draw from this, from my perspective. And I'll get yours, John. And James. One, be careful about what you post on social media. Because all I saw this dude in news stories was just thing after thing after thing posted, drawn from his public social media profile about a lot of things he'd said, military pictures of him. It's very easy to paint a picture that can go one way or the other just by taking things out of context.
Oh, yeah.
So be very careful about what you post and make public to the world. That's thing number one. Thing number two would be, we all need to stop jumping the gun. We get so mad when the liberals see a freaking shooting and automatically think it's an AR-15, and we're like, quit jumping to conclusions.
Yeah.
And then this happens, and everyone starts jumping to conclusions, but it's not the same because we're patriotic, and it's like, chill out, dude.
No, it's the same.
It's the same thing. It's exactly don't jump the same to conclusions. Right? Another thing that we can draw from this is like, you need to be more prepared for something like this possibly happening to you. Which means either one, you need to like kit up in a serious way if you think you're going to take on a whole bunch of cops by yourself, right?
Yeah.
Or two, you need to set yourself up legally and financially so that you can defend against things like this.
Boom.
And that's always the best option before fighting a bunch of cops. Okay. It's trying to peacefully resolve it.
Like, I think people have the most retarded view of history. When everyone's like, the Founding Fathers would have been shooting by now. Yeah, guess what else the Founding Fathers did before that?
A lot of other stuff.
Tons of diplomacy, tons of negotiations, tons of back and forth. I mean, God, how many times did Benjamin Franklin cross the fucking ocean between England and here trying to make negotiations and peaceable resolution? Like, there was a lot that went on before any shooting started. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, they weren't the ones who started shooting.
Yeah, exactly.
Little thing called Lexington Concord. Might want to look it up. Right? It wasn't the founding fathers that started the shooting.
Yeah.
And that's usually not how it goes. Mm-mm. You know, it's usually not the kind of revolutionary leaders that typically start the actual engagements.
Look at Hong Kong.
Perfect example.
Hong Kong, the cops over there are smoking people in the streets now. Yeah. You see that video of the dude that took the 40 mic gas grenade?
Yeah.
To the skull?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sitting in his brain. Yeah. All these medical, I love the medical pages. How would you treat this?
I'd zip him up.
Exactly. I was like,
I'd let it off gas and put that dude in a plastic bag.
Yeah. I'm like, there's your treatment. How would I treat it? It's in his frontal lobe, dude. He's dead.
He's smoked. DRT, bro.
I would treat him very carefully so that 40 mic didn't go off. Yeah, but that's about it.
I don't need a CS explosion in my face. So, but like the point is, and we've been accused on the show in the past of like
supporting jackbooted thugs,
supporting the JBTs and being involved, supporting police state. No. We definitely don't. I definitely don't support law enforcement that uses the excuse of, well, I don't make the laws, I just enforce them. Okay, guy, gal, whatever. That's not the way it works. All right, at some point in time, you're going to have to stand up and say, I don't support this, this is wrong. Get out of the career field if you can't do it, whatever it may be, right? At some point in time, there's going to come a time where you're going to be asked to do the wrong thing.
Yep.
And some of you are already being asked to do the wrong thing. And what you're doing is on you, all right? Not on me. That's on you. My point is that we don't support an overbearing police state. We don't support as large of a federal government as we have.
Yeah.
We don't support the tax system. We don't support a lot of things. But that doesn't mean that just because we don't support them, that as soon as some guy in his attic dressed in a freaking multicam plate carrier or whatever is yelling about redcoats are coming and all this kind of shit that we later turn out is because he's a fucking Looney Tune.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that because I don't immediately jump on that, I'm not a patriot. What it does mean is I might sit back and be like, let's actually get the facts before we, and then all these people are racing down there. We're running down there to see what's going on and we're going to go battle for our brother. Your brother? You don't know who the fuck this guy is. This veteran status shit is going too far. The dude is not my brother.
Yeah.
I don't even know him. And I'm not going to race to his aid just because we once wore the same uniform.
Yeah.
Because he's a fucking Looney Tune. And so you do run down there and race to his aid. And what happens next? You want to get lumped in with that guy?
Yeah.
No thanks.
That's a bad look.
Yeah. No thanks, man. Yeah, and I'm not proud of what some of our law enforcement is doing at all. I'm not proud of some of our law enforcement officers. I'm not proud of the direction that that is heading, and I don't like it. I don't like the direction that I see this stuff going. But it's a damn long cry from calling your local law enforcement redcoats.
Yeah.
Because if they were redcoats, Whiskey Warrior 556, you'd be dead.
Yeah, that's true.
They'd have put a fucking 80 millimeter cannonball through your fucking attic 8 or 100 times.
Yeah, right.
And then come up there and bayoneted you to death because they already took all your guns.
Yep.
And sorry, bro, but if you live in a situation where all that's happening, don't you think maybe you kind of started the revolution a little too late? You already gave up your guns. You already made a bunch of bad choices that put you in the situation to begin with.
You should stop and reevaluate the decision-making paradigm that has brought you thus far in life.
Mm-hmm. Well, by the sounds of it, I don't think that guy has stopped and really thought about anything he's done in his life. Yeah, paradigm. So I don't think he was going to start today or the other day. So
if any of you listeners have like think we're totally off base and you think that you're like, whoa, you're missing a big part of the story, let me know because I obviously haven't read everything there is to read about the story. I got the gist of it. I got the details. I got the later facts. I've got some other people's opinions. I've rolled everything around in my brain and said this is kind of how I feel about the situation. Let us know. You know how to get a hold of us. Email us, message us, whatever. I'm interested to hear you guys' opinion on something like this.
Yeah.
Because red flag shit is scary, man.
Yeah, it's super scary.
It's super scary to all of us. That you could be hanging out. I think about it, right? As we don't live in a red flag state, but I think about it with some of the shit I've been through in my life, especially recently, where someone could literally just call the freaking government and say, he's dangerous, and they just come and take my shit? Because another citizen said I'm dangerous?
Without any due process.
Without any due process. Yeah. Oh, then we investigate. You investigate after you violated my rights?
Yeah.
I don't think so, kid.
Guilty until proven innocent. So that's not the way it goes.
That's scary shit.
So oddly enough, most of the red flag laws are not written that way anyway. You get a day in court before they take your shit. Like, you get your day in court. They don't just come and confiscate your shit and you've got nothing. Now, there are states where they're trying to pass those that are written that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, the majority of states that have those, the extreme protection order stuff, all of that stuff, right? It's not written to violate your rights at all. You get a day in court, and generally it's voluntary. So the law enforcement can show and be like, hey, someone reported X, Y, and Z.
Let's just say the toaster was broken, John. All
right. Let's stick with that.
Yeah.
No, you are right, though. You are right that you, for the most part,
yes,
it happens. So here's a question that just popped up from a listener. What if it was a red flag? What should have been the response? Okay, we have a friend, a very close friend. I would call him one of my good business associates and also a friend. So I see things from his perspective, from both perspectives, who had an opportunity once upon a time when the ATF came to his house to raid his shit and take his guns from him.
Actually happening to an associate of mine right now.
And this is, and he opened the door and there stood armed ATF agents while he's trying to take his daughter to school. And they said, we're here to talk to you about some shit that we need to talk to you about. And he's like, there's two, in his words, he's like, it's really hard for anybody to say that they would do X, Y, Z because they weren't there. He's like, there I stand. Car keys in one hand, little daughter behind me, freaking school lunch in the other hand, right? And I'm like, oh shit, it's early in the morning. It's like, these guys aren't stupid. They know when to catch people. He's like, so I had two options. Option number one, slam the door, lock it. He's like, I literally had a freaking M60 with belts loaded up in two rooms back because that was part of his collection and guns he used a lot for what he was doing at the time in the manufacturing field. He's like, I literally could have run back there, grabbed that 60 and killed me some cops. Then what happens?
More cops. And
they start shooting back.
Yeah.
Then my daughter's involved. Then my wife's involved. Then my other daughter's involved. And how much worse is this going to get? How many resources can I throw at this thing before I'm out of resources? How many resources can they throw at this before they're out? They'll throw
way more
bodies at this. They don't care about the body count. They'll throw body counts at it until they've justified that they're right. Yep. So best of luck, right? So you can fight it out with the cops. Here's the thing. I go home tonight, knock, knock, knock. I open the door. There's, I don't know, a half a dozen armed officers standing outside my door. They know who I am already. They know what my capabilities are. They literally have a record of my capabilities, right? Like, they know what I'm capable of doing. So then maybe they're a little bit more forceful, or maybe they're just like, we can do this the easy way or we can do it the real easy way. How do you want to do it, right? And I'm like, liberty or death, and I slam the freaking door. Okay.
Well, now you have a SWAT unit.
So now what have I done? Now I've put Drew at risk. Mm-hmm. If my kids are there, I put my kids at risk.
Your right. Dogs are for sure going to die.
My dogs are definitely dead. All right. They're already there.
That's
no matter what you do, your dogs are dead. Right.
That's the worst part of the situation. Yeah.
Right? So it's like now I've got all this. And now what am I going to do? I'm a pretty capable individual. In my house, I've got everything I would need to stage a pretty serious freaking assault.
You're right.
That being said,
I'm still only one dude.
I'm still just one dude.
Yep.
And armor, night vision, suppressors, and 100-round drums are only going to get me so far against 7, 8, 10, 12, 15 guys coming at me. And what are they going to be like, oh, shit, we shouldn't fuck with this dude.
No.
Nope. Never. And if they, and the first, everyone's like, oh, just get the first couple coming through the door. Okay, great. You get the first couple coming through the door.
Well, now everything just got significantly
now
worse.
You've killed
if you
cops.
Don't if yeah. you don't die
if you here, don't die here you're
gonna die
prison.
Later
oh yeah for sure
if you don't get killed by cops
yeah
what are you gonna do? You're gonna run
where
so then some people are like well if you don't fight back you're not a patriot look guys There's a time and there's a place, and it's called picking your battles. Mm-hmm. And if you actually did anything worth doing in the military, you would understand that we don't engage in every engagement either. It's not like, what? Them some bitches shooting at us? God damn, my boys, get your muskets. Like, that is not how it works, man. We're like, are those guys shooting at us? We probably shouldn't engage them because this is disadvantageous to us. We should relocate and figure out a better way to fight them. Or go somewhere else and get more dudes. Or go somewhere else and get bigger guns. Or call in bigger guns. Or whatever the hell. We're out of range of our artillery support. We probably shouldn't mess with these guys, right? We don't have any top cover. We probably shouldn't mess with these guys, right? There's a lot of decisions
all true stories
that get made, dude.
Ugh.
And so it's like everyone who's just like, oh, you're fighting. It's like, dude, there's a lot of choices that you make to not engage because the time is not right and the advantage is not yours. So if I open my door today and there's a half a dozen armed police officers there, am I going to skin leather and go to work? No, because I'll die. And now how can I further the cause?
You can't.
I can't. So am I going to just go, well, come on in, boys, and take all my shit? No, I'm not going to bend over and take it either. I'm going to make sure that they follow the judicial process that they need to follow. I'm going to take my own records. I'll be following my own version of the judicial process on my side of things. Lawyers are going to be involved instantly. Like, they're going to be there in 15 minutes, right? That shit's going to be happening. I'm definitely going to have things in order to make sure that but I already have some of those things in place.
Mm-hmm.
Because like all the other emergency response I've done, quite honestly, this is part of being prepared for those kinds of emergencies. So the idea of door-to-door gun confiscation, however, is also not incredibly realistic. These guys didn't come storming into this dude's house. What, you don't think wherever the hell he was?
One cop showed up to talk to him about a prior incident. He started his shenanigans, ran away. This dude did what he's supposed to, which oddly
evacuated
enough.
Evacuated the immediate area.
Evacuated the area.
Set up a blockade.
And called in backup.
And called in the boys.
And guess who they call for backup with barricaded suspects? Fucking tactical response units. Guess what most tactical response units drive, even in podunk fucking New York?
APCs.
They have fucking APCs.
APCs on American soil. I love when he had the APCs on American soil. I'm like, have you ever been to a National Guard armory?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Seriously. You ever been to a military base?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, dude, I drive them shits all up and down the road.
Exactly. I'm like,
on American soil.
I see it literally not that far from my house. There's a freaking National Guard armory with freaking all kinds of vehicles there.
It's crazy.
You know what I mean? I'm like, dude, every SWAT team's going to have a lot of them get it from Dermo because they get it for free. You know what I mean? That's why you have podunk places rocking MRAPs because they're getting them for free for the government. Why wouldn't? Okay, look, guys, here's the reality. If I'm in a SWAT team, I definitely want to get MRAP.
Yeah, I definitely want some bulletproof shit that works really well.
Because if I got Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs start shooting at us before we deploy out of the back of the van, I'd really like for the bullets to stay outside.
Yeah, it's a true story.
You know, that's kind of a thing we all like. So I just...
There was an overreaction.
Way overreaction.
There was an overreaction. That's basically the only way to say it because we could go way deep into the weeds on this.
Oh, we could. But this could be a show.
This,
yeah.
Which it almost has turned into. He overreacted. The Instagram's overreacted. Don't make stupid life choices. Don't do Instagram lives when you're drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. He's drinking doing this, and I'm like, are you insane?
Like, you're for sure not winning this fight.
Yeah.
So
too drunk to fight at this point.
That's my two cents. I mean, you know, that's all I have to say about it. It was stupid. I have enjoyed all of the fucking backpedaling though.
Oh yeah.
Especially from larger organizations that are doing fantastic work in defending the Second Amendment, immediately setting up funds for this guy and then being like, oh wait,
oh,
never
crap.
Mind.
I had a private conversation with two of our other instructors about it. That is as far as I went. They sent me a private message yesterday and said, thoughts on this? I gave them some basic thoughts.
Yeah.
And that was really it. And that was like the most of the discussion. Everything else I've kept out of, man. We have several officers, very good, honest people who are students who have been sending me stuff today about backlash they've been receiving on their personal Instagram pages.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, people are attacking. And I'm talking there. Some of these people are Arizona cops.
That's kind of ridiculous. There's no reason for that.
Yeah. And I'm all about your personal opinion. If you got a different personal opinion about this matter, go for it. But don't start attacking, you know, police officers and calling up your agencies and telling you, you're going to get my gun, you fucking redcoats. Redcoats?
That kids, right there was kids. The first tip off that this guy was not in like a good yep. place mentally.
I'm like, you better do some research on your history, fella. Because if you think these are redcoats, they just burned your house down with you inside of it.
Yeah, they don't care.
You think they give a shit about some freaking colonial piece of shit? They'll just roll up to your house.
It's like a king's army. He's like,
they already took all your guns, you idiot. Yeah. They'll just light your house on fire and burn you with the inside. And then if you come out, they'll just kill you. And then shoot you a musket ball or stab you to death with a big-ass fucking bayonet.
Why'd they take his guns?
Yeah, gee, I wonder.
No, it's because he had a domestic violence charge.
That's what I'm saying. He's freaking Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was like a lot of other shit. So it's like, and now he's on here drinking. And, help me. I'm under attack by the redcoats. Like, oh, God. I'm tired of people leveraging their status as a veteran to get support from people as well. That's,
I can't. Also, a whole nother show.
I can't even anymore.
Yep.
With that shit.
Yep.
I'm like, whatever, man.
Veteran owned business.
Whoa, easy there, guy.
Yeah, but you don't like you're not making that. It. Yeah, that's not your only marketing tool.
Take a little sticker and put it on your website or something. That's fine. Yeah. Care. If someone put Native American owned business on there, cool, man.
Yeah.
That's a cool thing to know about your business. I appreciate you being proud of your where you came from, whatever. That's great. But yeah, when people are leveraging it, you should buy my pouches because when I was in the NOM.
Yeah, right.
I learned how to make a good pouch. I knew what... I used whatever the fuck they gave me.
Yeah.
I didn't learn anything about making.
You know why?
You know what I said? I was like, this pouch blows. And if I found another one, I'd use that one instead.
If it blew less. This one sucks less. I'm going to use this.
And I modified it with some scissors and
some duct tape.
And yeah,
like my little sewing kit.
If you're a veteran-owned like pouch company, but you were in the 82nd, and you want to use that, this is my experience with like... upgraded pouches. No, first off, you're lying. Because the 82nd is the 82nd is all about uniformity.
Dude, that freaking meme was hilarious. I said that one to James.
That gangster lean beret.
One eye. What did you say? Fuck depth perception.
Yeah. But it's true. That's how the 82nd rocks their berets.
It is, dude. Every time I was around, I'm like, y'all on the right side can't see me.
Yeah. We had dudes going through EOD school that were fucking slick washouts and shit. And that's how they wore their red berets.
They opened them.
I'm like, you guys are so
it's just this is a hat, bro. Just put the hat on, okay?
Yeah.
This
is a hat. What a stupid piece of headgear anyway.
Stupid hat anyway. Fuck. Oh, God. All right. We're done with that. Anything else in the news?
No.
Not. Doesn't even keep the sun out of your eyes. You know what I mean?
Well, it does that one eye.
Yeah, one eye. Yeah, all 100% vision in one eye. All right, Redwire, here we go.
All right, so Thanksgiving, obviously, just around the corner. If you're planning to do some traveling, which I know some people do, mostly driving, there's not a lot of flying on Thanksgiving for whatever reason. But before you travel, go through your vehicle, check your oil, check your tires, you know, make sure the emergency supplies you have are up to date and you have a little bit of extra stuff. Especially if you're traveling to a colder environment than you're used to. Make sure you've got some extra stuff in there. Make sure everything's functioning properly. Buy new wiper blades. I don't know. Yeah, just replace them twice a year. Replace them twice a year. And that's pretty much it. I hope everybody has a wonderful Thanksgiving. That's pretty much all I got for Redwire Gear Moment today.
All right, Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by RedwireGear.com. I actually had something to add to that just about kind of general preparedness stuff. I had a crazy flat tire this morning.
I saw that.
Yeah.
You have more, you and Sean have more flat tires than anyone I know.
I don't know how I get so many flat tires, man. But I was, I went and picked up some of my kids to have breakfast with them and I'm just leaving. I literally just checked the air pressure in my tires last night and I was leaving their house, just driving on the road and ding, my little tire pressure comes on and it's like ding, 24 pounds. I'm like, what? And it's like 16 pounds. I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah. And I'm just like, 6 pounds. I'm like, I am dead flat.
Flat.
I mean, it was like that. Ding, ding, ding. Like super fast. So I get off the side, pull off the, you know, shitty flat tire. Couldn't even find the hole. Drop down the, you know, spare. Get on. Get to the freaking big old place. Toss him the tire. Go back and get it later when it's fixed. But it was a reminder to me just, you know, you're always talking about it on here, John, about, you know, preparing vehicles and stuff like that. We're always talking, obviously, about emergency preparedness. It was so great to, like, know exactly where all my shit is.
Yeah.
Like, I got a nice rolling jack, you know, so I'm not using the crappy little one that comes with the truck. So, like, I got a nice little rolling jack. I've got my...
You've probably got a really nice four-way lug wrench.
I've got my nice big four-way lug wrench. And I've got my gloves. I've got a little mat to lay down on. Yeah. Like, it's nice to just have all that shit. And it was a quick process. I mean, it's changing the tire.
It's not that difficult. Long
of a process. But it's like, boom, 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 done. All the good tools came out. Went back away. Nice and back in their storage locations. Hop back in the truck. I'm going to drive away. I'm like, man, it's nice to have good tools.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and nothing I had was like, and people are, oh, God, that's like so expensive. No, it's not. It's not expensive to have everything I had. But it's something to think
about. Four-way lug wrench is like $20.
Yeah, and I mean, even a rolling floor jack, I mean, you can get them on sale all the time. Harbor Freight one for $60 or $70. I mean, you know, if that. They're probably cheaper than that. And I don't have one of the big giant ones. I've got one that's maybe, I don't know, 2 feet long or something, but it's big enough to jack up my truck, you know. Yeah, four-way lug wrench and nice little mat, some gloves. It was like, nice, you know, it was nice to just get it done and get back in the truck with the kids and go get breakfast, you know.
Yep.
So it's just like one of those things to think about. Being prepared for stuff, especially around the holidays, shit always freaking happens.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Today, we're going to be talking about how to get the most from your training time. And there's – we're going to kind of be specifically talking about shooting training time, mm-hmm. how to get the most from that. And there's some considerations here. Like, one of the biggest considerations that we have for getting the most from your training time is when students come to us through a class, they get access to a range for a class they might not otherwise have access to. So they may not have access to a 50 by 50 bay or 25 by 25 or 100 by 50 or whatever different, you know, wherever the hell we're at. They may not have access to all that stuff and be able to just, you know, set up all the cool exercises.
Show up to the range whenever they want. Do
they may not be able to show up whenever they want. They may not be able to even go outside this time of year. You know, they may not have access to all the steel targets or paper targets or whatever. So one of the first things that you have to do if you want to figure out how to get the most out of your training time, this is no shit. I mean, make an inventory, including range facilities that might even be outdoor desert places. Like if you're in a place like Arizona, where we've got a lot of public shooting land, or your buddy's freaking ranch, or whatever it is you have access to shoot on. Make an inventory of what you have.
Yeah.
Like, what assets do I have to make this training work? What kind of facilities do I have access to? Is it indoor ranges? Fine. What can those indoor ranges do? What kind of targets can you use there? List them out. Like, legitimately, no shit, list them out. And I went to an indoor range for the first time in a long, long time just to shoot. I couldn't even literally tell you the date. It's been years and years. It was actually me and James and our buddy Ben, and we went in there to shoot some AKs because it was close and we wanted to shoot a couple AKs that we had, and it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
It was annoying because I'm constricted and I'm in a little lane. I got to shoot a little target, and it was like, what am I going to do here? But there's a lot I could have done there.
Yeah.
As I start looking around at the assets, all the cool stuff the computer can do, I'm looking at the different targets we can utilize. I'm talking to RO a little bit. I'm discovering some of the other things they have access to there, like competitions and stuff like that, that open up the ranges to me a little bit. And I'm like, okay, so there are some assets to work with here, you know? So it's like, make a list of your assets. Ranges, targetry, shot timers, whatever it is that you got.
Time,
yeah.
That's probably the biggest consideration that
people forget. That's definitely inventory of assets.
Go ahead.
You're fine.
So time is the one thing that is the most finite resource that we have. And people assume that you need 8 hours at the range, or you need an hour at the range, or you need whatever mental thing they have in their head. Oh, I have to have this much time to do this thing. But you don't. You need 5 minutes. You need 10 minutes. You need as much time as you can allow and fit into your schedule if this is a priority for you. Mm. Doesn't take a lot. A little bit every day is better than a lot once a month or a lot once every 6 months, you know. So a little bit every day is going to make you better over the long run. And that applies to all types of training, which we've discussed in depth in the past. So time, and time.
So you got a time thing. You got to factor that into your inventory of assets, right? Once you figure that out, now you have to make a plan. What do I actually want to improve on? One of the very first questions I always ask private students when they ask me, hey, I want to do some private training with you. And we do a lot of private training. Like the majority of what I do is private stuff. And it might be an individual, a group, a couple, whatever. And the very first thing I ever ask them is, what do you want to work on? I'm the train, you're the driver. What do you want to do? And they go, well, I just want to like work on defensive concepts. Explain that to me. What to you is defensive concepts? Is it close quarters? Is it movement? Is it distance? Like what do you think of when you think of defensive concepts? Or they go, I want to get better at competition. Okay, what kind of competitions do you shoot? What's your equipment limitations? What's your time limitations? You know, mm-hmm. let's start working out what you actually want to work on. Or my favorite one, which is always, well, I just want to get faster and more accurate.
All to be better.
We all do. We all want to get faster and more accurate. Okay, let's talk about how fast and accurate you are right now. What kind of standards and measurements are you using now? I was just having a discussion with a student this weekend where they were like, yeah, I bought a new gun and I've been doing lots of training. I put a bunch of rounds through it, you know, a couple thousand rounds. Like I'm feel like I'm doing really good. And I'm like, badass, man. What's your standards?
Huh?
How are you measuring what you're doing? Because it's awesome that you're out there shooting. That's way more than most people are doing. Mm-hmm. Now, what are you doing to measure to see if where you're at and if you're actually improving? If you're getting better with the training that you're doing or if it's just kind of the same. Like there's really no way to measure a result. How are we supposed to know if we're improving, right? Or even staying with any kind of standard of accuracy. So that's kind of the next part is, what the hell do you want to do? Like if you're going to have a training plan, people are like, I want to go set out these targets and I want to run over here and shoot this one. Then I'm going to run over here and shoot this one. I'm like, all very cool stuff. What are you trying to accomplish? Because if you're trying to accomplish stuff for concealed carry self-defense, why are you moving around so much? Why are you engaging so many different targets? And if you're engaging multiple targets as individual engagements, that's appropriate. But if you're thinking there's a field of targets I need to run around and shoot them all, from a training perspective, that's not necessarily where you want to be. Some people might try to use competition as their training. Competition is not training.
No.
Competition is validation and application. That's it. It's not training. You can derive information from competition. You say, oh shit, I need to work on this skill, this skill, this skill. Then
which
you take
drives your those training
things
plan
to go back to my training plan.
Yeah.
But competition in itself is not training because I get to run a stage one time.
Yep.
I get no chance for improvement. My metrics for measurement are meh. Because I can't compare them to anything else other than other people who aren't necessarily of the equal initiative than I am at.
Right.
You know, they might be using slightly different equipment, be better skill set, worse skill set, whatever it is. So it's like I use competition as a way to find the things I need to work on. That's fine. So, you know, build a plan that also says, what do I want to work on? Now be realistic, in addition to the time that John already mentioned, be realistic about the ammunition capabilities that you have. Can you afford 1,000 rounds a month? 500? 100? 50? That's fine, man. If you're scraping by and a box of ammo is a big expense for you, no problem. You can get a lot done with a box of ammo. Now, your plan and your exercises are going to be 7-round exercises, 10-round exercises. Mm-hmm. You probably don't need to be out there blazing a full freaking 17-round magazine, doing a mag dump and blazing another because now you're more than halfway through your ammunition. And now you're not really getting controlled, measured, quantifiable rounds. So you got to go out there and you've got to measure this concept. So if you're in an indoor range, don't think you're limited. You know, look at the different things that it can do if it's a computer. If it's not a computer, it's the old school just thing on a wire back and forth. That's fine. Set standards for each distance. Set standards with time and a timer. Set standards for different types of guns. You can still do single hand. You can still do, you know, support hand, right? Yeah, other shooting hand. You can still work potentially from concealment. You might be able to work from holsters. Some ranges do allow that if you get certain, you know, things under your belt. Mm-hmm. You can work with different types of equipment. You can work low light. You can work a lot of different applications. You know, you can work speed over accuracy. You can work accuracy over speed. You can use different types of targets, different styles of targets. recognition targets, shoot, no shoot, turning stuff. And there's 1,001 things that you can do. You're limited because your imagination is limited.
Aha.
You're not limited because the facility is limited. I've had the opportunity to train in some amazing world-class facilities, and I've also had the opportunity to train a fucking gravel pit, and I've also had the opportunity to train in freaking indoor range.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had to teach the same class at all three of those places. So you're limited only literally by your imagination. You know, you guys have both done private training with me from a sense you've been there when I'm training other students. And it's like, we don't have a standard set of exercises we run students through. We typically do some kind of assessment thing in the beginning so that we can make sure that they're where they need to be, especially with safety and basic marksmanship. But outside of that, it's like, dude, we kind of just on the fly, we've got some shit we can draw from experience on. But it's like on the fly, we're kind of like, okay, you want to work on this? Let's combine these two exercises. Let's look at this exercise. Or, you know, this would suit you better because you're trying to accomplish this. How many rounds did you bring? Oh, you brought 500 rounds? All right. Are you okay with burning them down?
Yeah.
Cool. Let's hit some freaking high volume stuff and really work your speed. Oh, shit. You only brought 50 or 100. That's all you have? No problem. Let's work with that. Let's work on some 3 to 5 shot exercises, maybe. Let's work on some single shot exercises. You know, let's work on some dry practice runs. Let's dry practice all your movement. Let's dry practice your draw. Instead of live firing every time you draw, let's just analyze this. Video is going to be huge for a lot of people. You want to get the most out of your training? Video.
Yep.
Because video
allows you to go back and objectively look at it from the outside.
And get it from multiple angles.
Yep.
Which is a big important thing as well. So
just because you video it doesn't mean you have to post it to Instagram.
Yeah, now just because I video definitely doesn't mean I have to freaking share it.
Just gonna put that out there.
So yeah, there's plenty of videos I have of me shooting where I'm literally just looking for a certain technique.
Yeah.
Or maybe a certain flaw, or trying to figure out, what am I doing here? What's slowing me down? What's screwing me up?
Plus, over time, the more video you accumulate, you'll start to pick up on things that you may not notice anyway initially, but then you'll go, oh, so I've seen me do this in like 5 different videos. Mm. Like, I know for a while you had a shoulder hunching thing.
I did.
Several years ago.
And you I don't know how I picked it up.
Yeah, it just happened. And I brought it up to you one day and you're like, holy crap, you're right. And you went back and you looked at some older videos and you're like, dude, it started here. I'm not sure why it started. And then you started to work to correct it. And to the best of my knowledge, it's probably corrected and stayed corrected.
Yeah.
So you start to notice little things that may not be apparent in the immediate moment if you notice them over time.
Right.
So, and it may be something really simple like you're shorting your draw stroke. Mm-hmm. You know, you're doing 90% draw stroke the right way, but you're shorting yourself on that last 10%. Maybe you're bowling just a little bit at the very end of the draw stroke. And you're not going to notice that in one video. You know, you'll notice the trend of that over several videos, several months of training.
I would be careful too when people, we had a student, actually James was there for this class, who was like, I want a set of exercises that I can do on my own. Like, the dude literally drives around with targets in his truck.
Yeah.
And every time he gets a chance, he sets up and shoots. He's a great shooter. He's a great student. He's a cool dude. And he's like, but I want a set of exercises I can run like this. And I'm like, all right, cool. So he's like, I see all these exercises online. There's this drill and that drill and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, all right, cool. Check this out. How are they benefiting you? It's easy to get sucked into like, this Green Beret made this shooting exercise. You want to learn how to shoot like a Green Beret? Shoot this exercise. You know? And you're like, but how's that exercise?
What's the purpose of the
benefiting
exercise?
Benefiting me. Like, does it match up with my plan? If it does, it's a good exercise.
Yeah.
Or use it as an assessment. I love the dot torture exercise. I've always loved it. I think it's a great exercise. It's a cool piece of paper to bring to the range with some dots on it that have instructions on them, and they're horrible, right?
Yeah.
Makes you do horrible things at whatever distance you want. So it's not horrible if you're shooting it at 3 to 5 yards. You shoot that bitch at freaking 7 or 10, it'll change the way you think about stuff because it's almost impossible to get a perfect score.
Yeah.
You know, it starts to get more difficult the farther out you get. So it's like, there's a lot of cool stuff you can incorporate in that exercise. I use that as an assessment a lot. I'm at the range. I'm feeling kind of like, I don't know what to do. I always keep dot torches in the range bag. Do it a lot for private training. He's like, boom, pull out a dot torture, whack, slap that thing up on the board. We're working this. All the fundamentals of shooting right here. There's no step left to step right, run around over here, do 18 push-ups. There's none of that kind of shit in the Dot Georgia drill. It's a shooting exercise. So if I'm there to assess my shooting capability, this is a good exercise to do. Make sure, again, that whatever exercise you're doing, it has specifically to do with what you're working on in your plan. Probably one of the best ways that you can get a lot out of your training is to get with other people. Mm. And if you take a class, especially a class that's local to you, there's your people.
Yep.
All the people that put down money just like you to show up to a class and learn how to shoot and train and get better, they're probably the people you want to be talking to. Get their numbers, connect with them. Hey, man, I like to go shooting this second Saturday every month. Or, hey, dude, if you ever have a free night, let me know.
Whatever it may be.
And those people may have access to assets that you don't.
Correct. Yeah, you hook up with some local cop. You may be like, bro, can you use a freaking PD range? And you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Cool. You know, you may have access to whatever, you know what I mean? Maybe the guy's like, yeah, dude, I've got a half a dozen steel targets. And you're like, oh shit, I don't have any steel targets. I have one, you know? So you don't know who you might meet within that group. The other thing about that is that now you have two brains, three brains, five brains, whatever, getting together, putting up exercises, coming up with betterment and improvement exercises. A little bit of competition, which is always a good thing. Always good to end on that competitive note.
And accountability.
And shitloads of accountability, which for me is probably one of the best things. Because now I'm just out there like, yeah, I do it whenever I do it here. It's like now it's like, hey, dude, the second Tuesday of every month, we go down to the range. We, you know, we freaking do this. And you're like, shit, I got to be there. And when I show up, I'm like, I got to have my A game going because these guys are going to hold me accountable. You know, if I blow a shot and I'm by myself, I'm just kind of like, well, I don't have to tell anybody about that, right? But if I'm around five or six other people, now all of a sudden it's like, dude, we see what you did. How did that happen? And then you have to try to explain yourself and articulate why that happened, or someone, even better, someone might have been able to see it and go like, dude, I totally know why you blew that shot. Your position was screwed up, or this was going on in your hand, or this, or your whatever. And you're like, oh shit, I didn't realize.
Yep.
So find a group or partner, you know, to go out and train with. Last thing I've got on my list is keeping it simple, right? Just following that good old KISS principle. The reason it's so important for me, like, and I've described this on the show before, and I've described it in training a lot to people. And there's a video about this, actually, way back in the freaking YouTube channels of Independence Training. And it's called the Roadside Workout.
Yep.
When I was living in Prescott Valley and driving down to Phoenix, you know, five, six times a week, back and forth, I came up with something called the Roadside Workout. It was a 10-round exercise. It involved a bunch of movement, some distance, incorporating dummy exercises, sometimes multiple magazines, sometimes not. Whatever I was trying to work on.
It was scalable,
and
too.
Almost every round of the 10 rounds was fired using a different application of the fundamentals. And so it was scalable. And most of the time, it would be like, dude, if I didn't have a target in the back of my truck for whatever reason, I would literally like, dude, I shot at freaking tin cans, a box with a face drawn on it. I mean, everything. Whatever I could get my hands on.
So it's box, like, box and a roll of blue tape will take you a long way.
I was like, I have my gun. I have my two mags on me. I always keep a 50-round box of ammo in my truck.
Yeah.
And I keep foamies in my console. I have everything I need to shoot. Yeah. So it's like, if I can just stop someplace, I'm like, oh shit, I only have this short amount of time. I'll whip into a place, especially when I've got, you know, the public land access of Arizona, or I can whip into any range and have at least 50 rounds of ammo.
Yeah.
We got my eyes, got my ears, got my freaking pistol, you know, can drain out my mags if I need to, and now I'm ready to go.
Yep.
Keep it as simple as possible. The more complex, we got to go over to this guy's house, we got to get all these targets, and we got to go over here, and we got to get this shit, and we got to get out there, and it takes us an hour and a half to set up, or an hour to set up, or whatever, and we get ready, then we all got to put our cool tactical gear on, we got to do this, we got to do that, blah, 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 blah. And next thing you know, nobody wants to freaking do it.
Yep.
Because it's a pain in the ass.
Yep.
So keep it simple, otherwise you're not going to want to.
It's true.
Any other advice either you guys have for, you know, how to get the most out of your training?
Don't undervalue dry fire, and don't undervalue keeping records. I think that's a big one, because dry fire, obviously, I mean, you know, you can take 5 minutes in the morning before you leave the house, you know, an extra 5 minutes and work on just mag changes in your garage, you know, clear your gun, load it, you know, live ammunition somewhere else, a couple of empty mags, just practice the mechanics of it. It's not a fast thing. It's a mechanics thing. We're not rushing a clock here. Now, once the mechanics are down and you can do this fairly effectively, then you're going to want to find a way to pressure test that. You know, you're going to want to find a way to make that a little bit faster to see if you can smooth out the mechanics a little bit. And then keeping records. Records are huge, 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 huge. If you don't write it down, it didn't happen. Because you're not going to remember everything that you did from a hour-long range session that afternoon, right? Or especially not in 2 weeks when you're like, God, what did we do? You know, what did we do last time at the range? You know, you're not going to remember that crap. You have to write it down. It's real simple. Buy a little notebook. Keep it in your range bag. Keep it in your glove box, wherever that's convenient for you, and write down your training exercises. And keep track of everything you did.
James, anything to add?
Just goal setting, like you said. Making a plan, setting goals, and then once you meet those goals, restart and make new goals, and, you know, faster, more accurate, whichever you're going for. Just something that you can attain and like you said, write down and actually see quantitative results.
So if you guys have something to add where you're like, oh man, you guys really missed this important point or whatever, hey man, shoot it to us. We'll include it on next week's show, whether it's an email or a message or whatever, we'll make sure it gets out there. Remember, you can bring us out to train with you. Get access via email, or get info, I mean, via email, info@trainingaz.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram as The Arms Room, Independence Training, and Redwire Gear. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Make sure you guys check out all the shows that they have going on in the network. And happy Thanksgiving, early a little bit, but happy Thanksgiving. I hope you guys get the opportunity to spend some time with some family. And if you're alone on Thanksgiving, realize there's still things to be thankful for. If you've had a hard year, there's still things to be thankful for. Don't forget about sometimes the simpler things in life that absolutely make it worth living. Next week, we are going to be talking about everyday carry gear and pressure testing it, right? Mm-hmm. So how to pressure test the gear, not yourself necessarily, but your equipment. And what is really needed? How good of gear do you really need? The idea of,
good enough is?
Good enough, or what's your life worth, or any of those kind of things. We're talking about that next week. Until next time, you guys stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.